wonderful.
This call is being recorded.
I would like to, I'm Bridget Weeb, and I'm one of the advising community of practice co-chairs in caucus. And I would like to thank everyone for tuning in. We are very pleased to offer this webinar to both groups of advisors from NACADA and caucus. And we're very thankful to have Atifa Karim from the University of Toronto facilitating the webinar. Before we begin, I want to acknowledge that we have people joining us today from across Canada. We are all viewing and participating in this discussion on the traditional territories of the Indigenous peoples of Turtle Island, and we want to recognize their contribution to this place and express our gratitude for our ability to come together to learn today. Atifa is the lead coordinator of career education at the University of Toronto. And in a few moments, I'm going to hand the presentation over to her. Before we do that, I also want to let you know that we are recording the webinar, and we will post the recording on Higher Logic for caucus and send it out to NACADA via the listserv. And we'll also have slides available to accompany this, so people who don't have a chance to see it today will be able to view it. I want to thank Megan McKenzie of caucus for helping us with the setup and walking us through this. It's the first time for me, so that's great to have your help, Megan. Now, a bit of business before I turn it over to Atifa. As we've said several times, or we've posted also, this is just a conference line. So I think as we go into the presentation, the best way to ask questions will be if you type in your questions in the chat box on the right side of the screen, if you have access to the screen. And I'm sorry for those who don't. And then Atifa is going to keep an eye on some of those questions, and she'll either address them during the presentation or respond to them at the end of the presentation. And our plan is to wrap up by 2 p.m. So, Atifa, I'd like to hand it over to you.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Bridget. I really appreciate that. And I have to say that I'm really grateful and excited that this is something that both caucus and NACADA has organized. And a very large thank you to Bridget, Paige, and Megan for your leadership on this. And to everybody tuning in, it's really great and exciting to see that we've got about 50 people on the line right now hoping to chat about group advising and how we can move that forward as institutions in different spaces. So I'm looking forward to our conversation today. And as Bridget mentioned, feel free to add thoughts, comments as we go, and questions as we go throughout in the chat feature. I'll keep an eye on those. And answer as we go, if that makes sense, or certainly we'll hold some time and space at the end. As Bridget mentioned, my name is Atifa, and my preferred pronouns are she and her, and I'm the lead coordinator here at U of T for career education. And Career Chats has been a program that our team, we're just coming up in about 2 years since we've been doing the group advising program. And so really, what I'm looking forward to and what I envision whenever we do presentations, it is an invitation to be in conversation and to collaborate. I know folks in other spaces are playing with group advising and testing this out. And so I would love to hear, whether it's within the call when we get to some time to chat or after, how other folks are navigating this. Finding community in our work, I think, is one of the most important parts of what professional organizations allow us to do. And so I'm grateful to be in community with all of you as we navigate this. Just to give you a sense of what our session will focus on and the agenda, what I'm hoping to do is to just provide a little bit of context for why our team and our department moved forward with a group advising program, what were some of the contextual and situational factors that allowed us to do that. Provide an overview of the program itself, from its goals to its structures, and really some of the lessons learned as we've assessed and where we're hoping to take things next. And then time for questions and reflections as we go throughout is how I've structured this. And with that, my hope is that we'll be able to do some work around understanding and articulating the strength and impact of group advising. To do some work around the theoretical foundations that we use to both design and assess the program, and start to, I think, unpack some of the challenges and opportunities related to group advising and what it means to be in this space. So for a little bit of context setting,
Great. Awesome.
at CorrectLaurationEducation@the University of Toronto. I work within a central office that seeks to support all students on the St. George campus. And our team organizationally is divided into four teams: career education, employer recruitment and engagement, CorrectLauration, and peer programs. But over on the right-hand side of the screen, for those of you that can see the screen, you'll see that within our mission is really to be...
I'm on a conference call right now, so I can't really...
I'm just going to maybe ask the folks, if you're joining in via phone, if you maybe want to mute on your end, that might potentially work well. Thank you. So within our mission, as part of that central office, our work is about helping every U of T student and recent graduate as well, 2 years out, build their future in our changing world. And a large part of that is about being able to say that a large part of that might be your career, but also thinking more broadly around what that might mean and holding space for students to self-declare what their future looks like and how career fits in with that. And so as a part of that, we moved a couple years ago from a career counseling model to a career education model. And so with that focus on the self-directed in helping students transition both through and into the labor market, and a labor market that we recognize is changing and evolving. And so within that framework, very much an opportunity to think about who we are is centered on supporting core career learning that I think is really well captured within our career learning framework. And so a few years ago, as we made that transition from career counseling to career education, to really think about what are the competencies and the core elements of career learning that we have a capacity to teach students as they engage in this work. And so this demonstrates how we've organized that to think about career learning as within four domains, which are represented on the graph there. And that's allowed us to map all of our programs, services, and resources to 16 particular objectives. Each domain has four within them. And it was very much a process of going through this and mapping and really identifying where our strengths and our programs lie, that we realized that there was an opportunity to better support students in the develop your strategy domain. And so students focus in on priorities, decisions, actions, and plans. That actual space to do the work around career learning and to start to articulate how they wanted to be intentional and strategic about their career decisions. And so that very much sort of informs that this notion that we had a gap in our service model and the programs and services that we were offering. At the same time, too, we were hearing from students that the way that they wanted to engage with us was shifting and could be further diversified. So through our drop-in survey, we understood that really students wanted to have an opportunity to be able to come into our space and have access to something without registration, to have an offering be available within that week, and for it to be casual conversation, that it didn't necessarily needed to be a formal one-on-one appointment or a mid-sized group workshop, but just based to kind of talk through the questions and thoughts that they might had. A few years ago, we did a participatory action research project around helping understand how U of T students defined meaningful work. And as a process of that, we heard from students that they wanted the Career Center and they wanted space to have conversation about the messy questions about careers, about the fact that careers and navigating careers is ambiguous, and that it doesn't always appear linear. And so space to unpack that, but also space to be able to connect with our career educators, our staff advisors, more closely. And then within our U of T student life team, we've had some folks that have been doing some incredible work around gathering student insights, part of our planning process through the Innovation Hub. And through that, heard from students a need for showing, a need to learn the resources that are available, have open space to connect about the questions that they were having. And so at this point, we had a sense from our own curriculum and our offerings that there's an opportunity to diversify our offerings, that we're asking for different ways to engage with us, And in a timely way, we were going through some construction within our space, within our central student success center that Career Exploration and Education is housed in. And as part of that construction, we were going to have these new group rooms that folks were going to be able to engage with us, and we would welcome students back in after about a year of construction. And so it was this kind of perfect storm around our recognition of what diversify our offerings, students wanting different ways to connect with us, and that we had this piece about reintroducing students to who we are, that led us to think maybe it makes sense to be able to offer this program. That, of course, brought us a sense of having that consensus kind of brought us to that central question of what does it look like to offer a group advising program? And one option, and I'd love to, for folks who can see the screen, is just to kind of share a conceptual graphic that we played with to help us thinking to think about that. Is that, you know, when we think about group advising, it's trying to balance that interaction between someone who sees the expert, someone who's seen as the knowledge holder in the space, and folks having lots of questions, and that was going to be a bi-directional conversation, and that it would be, I think, in large part overwhelming for a career educator to need to balance the needs of multiple learners within the space. And it was a very hard no around this model, because this looks a lot like a Q&A session rather than group advising. And so much of the literature around group advising really talks about group advising as an opportunity to normalize students' perceptions and experiences, to really help students understand that they're not alone. That's such a powerful byproduct of that group experience. And we knew that that wasn't necessarily captured here, and that there would need to be an opportunity for us to kind of play in that space of experimentation and innovation to think about what we would want it to look like. So we went back and taking a curricular approach, named for ourselves what were some of our program goals that in offering this as a program that we'd really want to be able to meet. And I'll walk folks through this a little bit more closely. And so that first one of really creating a space that was consistent, that was welcoming for students to be able to drop in. We know that nature of it being kind of just in time or just available was a goal that we're trying to meet with this program. And the other is that discussion base, that we wanted this to be conversational. We wanted this to be casual, but with that really tied to helping students leave feeling hopeful and optimistic about their next steps in terms of the tone that we're looking to strike with the program. And then within that itself, the learning goals for the program overall was space for students to engage in self-reflection around their values, their strengths, their skills, their interests, and what that meant for their career and personal identity. And so thinking back to the curriculum framework I shared earlier, that very much sits in the know yourself, space for students to understand who they are as multifaceted and intersectional individuals more closely. But then space to also identify strategies about how they might navigate career exploration and job searching. We know that careers are messy and nonlinear, and navigating that process can be ambiguous. So how can we do that? And how can we do that through community? We're large parts of being able to name what we wanted students to walk out of the program knowing. I'll pause there as an opportunity to just answer any clarifying questions if folks have any that they want to share through the chat around like the goals for the program or about the session itself before I kind of move further into how we went about developing it and what it actually looks like. I hear a few people typing, so I might just give that a minute more. All right. I think we'll keep going, and if the questions come in, I'll answer them for sure as we go through. So knowing that these were the goals, whether for the program itself, but for the program itself, really wanted to say, how do we base this in theory and really think about how do we emerge with a model that might work for us? And so grounded herself in a couple of different theoretical basics. And so one is appreciative advising, and I know I'm preaching to the choir on this one, around really using a positive, open-ended questions to help students come into those answers for themselves, which is directly tied to solutions-focused coaching. It's a model that our career education team uses often within individual appointments, but also within workshops around helping students come recognize how they could use their strengths to start to begin to answer their own questions. Sometimes the answers lie within. And then we borrowed from the healthcare field with Heron's six categories of intervention. It's a conceptual framework that helps us understand and characterize interpersonal relationships within a helping context, where the service provider can either take an authoritative role or have a role that is facilitative. And what we appreciated about that was the way that it positioned our career educators as facilitators in the space rather than authority figures. Stacey, I see your question in the chat, and I think we'll get to it as we go. But if not, we'll cycle back to it in an ongoing conversation. And so with that, what I want to then share is kind of our conceptual model that we played with as we brainstormed, and then we'll run you through what a career chat within an hour looks like. And so the first part was really to think about that role as a career educator. In the previous conceptual model, that looks a lot like a Q&A. The career educator's position very much is the authority figure in that space, is the knowledge holder, the expert. And really what it might look like for a career educator's role really was there to hold space for discussion, for students to process through their own experiences and questions. The other is for us to think about the learners' experiences. And we use the language of learners because we recognize that we're supporting students that are also recent graduates who aren't actually students. But we know that students come into group advising with ideas and strategies that have been successful before. We know how to take in an appreciative advising and a solution focused. So one of the things I'm curious about is what might happen if we encourage them to answer each other's questions. Might this help them realize that they know more than they think that they know and that they might be able to learn from experiences? We know it's a really big ask, though, however, to ask students to answer each other's questions, to ask each other's questions, to advise each other. And so one of the things that we thought about is, what if one of the individuals in the space is a peer advisor? We've got an incredible team of peer career advisors. And so what if one of the individuals in the room was somebody who could model what this looked like? And so they were wearing two hats, and that's my graphic around the two top hats there, where they were both operating as a student, but also could model what it looked like to ask each other's questions, to ask follow-up about information about something, to begin to advise each other. And what that then allows a career educator to do is not that they're absent from the career conversation, but that they're there to really ensure flow and focus, to really ensure that the conversation is moving to depth and moving forward. Again, I recognize it's a conceptual model, so what I'd love to be able to do is to share the program itself and the overview. I do have a longer kind of two-page document that maps out what happens over the course of the hour, and if folks are interested in that, I'm happy to share after the call through ongoing chats. But within that, a career chat, really thinking about that first 10 minutes, and you'll see that we pass on the appreciative advising stages to this, is to think about disarming students, helping students understand what group advising means, what this interaction looks like, to clarify the role of a career educator in this space, and to name that for students their role is to ask each other's questions, to share authentically, to be frustrated and confused in safe ways within this space, and to have a conversation about discretion versus confidentiality within a group environment. There's often an icebreaker activity that happens as a way for students to introduce themselves, and then to also start to share the question that they might have coming into the room. So they might say, you know, I came here today because the topic is on networking, and this is the specific question that I have. And part of what then we move into is to look at all of the questions. Often the current educators flip chart these to prepare them. And then how we could navigate that question. So often what might happen during that 5 minutes of discovering, so to speak, is you've got a flip chart of the questions and turning it over to the participants in the room and say, these are the questions that we're hoping to talk about today. How could we approach this? And that's where we get to see, and it's a little uncomfortable at first, but that's why that disarming is important. Students will start to name how they think we can flow through the conversation. What's a question that would be good to start with and then to move to next? They'll start to group questions together to say, here's how these are connected and thematically focused, and build an agenda for the conversation. And then the conversation sort of emerges from there. Often a career educator or a peer advisor might say, all right, we said we wanted to start with that question or on this theme. Who has an idea about that? Not necessarily an answer, but just who has an idea or a thought about that? And students start to then participate in that conversation, start to share their ideas through that. And that often will go on for about 30, 35 minutes of productive conversation. And what a career educator role might look like in that space is to ask scaling questions that come from a solutions-focused approach, to reaffirm career mindsets, to introduce career concepts that students might have, to name resources that are coming up for students. And then within that, as the conversation emerges, there's usually some space for quiet reflection for about 10 minutes. Students are often taking notes during the chat, and so space for them to kind of consolidate what is it that they're hearing and thinking about and articulate for themselves a next step. We usually do a go-around close where folks will share, here's something I'm thinking about, here's what I learned, here's a next step that I'm thinking about, and then that brings us into the closing for the session itself. And so that's sort of the breakdown of the hour. And so as a program itself, it's something that we run every Thursday over the lunch hour. The promotional graphic is on the slides. And so we talk about no registration required, if you'd like, light snacks are provided. But with that, once we had a sense of what we wanted the model to look like or the hour to look like, we know that we needed to be thoughtful about what types of conversation would work well within that format. And so we narrowed down for ourselves networking, exploring career options, job search motivation, and exploring further education as topics that would be appropriate to take up in that space. Because we know certain types of conversations require different formats, whether that's a workshop or a one-on-one. And our tagline kind of for the program has sort of become, we know that career planning and job searching is messy and complex, so let's just chat about it. And so that's the way that it's situated. And I've got a graphic here with permissions from students around what it actually looks like. So it's in one of those same small group rooms. We've got snacks, and it's a lot of group collaborative learning is often what that looks like. I'll pause there for if there are questions that are coming through the chat as well, or if there's any pieces about the program itself I can clarify before I sort of move to talking about how did we assess this, how are we doing on the numbers, what do we know about the program that's working. So Stacey, your question kind of around are students uncomfortable when they realize it won't be a private chat? So one of the things that we've been intentional about when promoting the program, whether it's through our front desk, through our event management system, our social media, is to make sure that students know that it is a group space environment, that it is a small group session. But if students still kind of pop in and might need help understanding what the space is, that's why we hold that first 10 minutes of disarming to really say, this is what this is, this is what it will look like. And often we've never had a student leave sort of saying, oh, this isn't what I thought it was. They'll still stay and engage in some way. Paige, there was a question around if the student peer advisor is incognito. They're not. Folks in the room know that this is somebody who's a peer career advisor, and they introduce themselves as that way right at the beginning. The topic of the conversation, so we have four themes, so networking, exploring career options, job search motivation, exploring further education. So each Thursday, our career chat is focused on a specific theme, and then students bring questions that are connected to that theme. Of course, by nature of career and career conversations, these are interconnected, but we tend to stay focused on, we're talking about networking, so what's the question that you have within that? How often do you repeat themes? We probably do one every month because we cycle through, but we also base them on what we know of the types of career conversations students have at different times of the year. So we know in January, February, those are heavy on the further conversation. We might be more intentional about scheduling more of those than the others. Be a lot of exposure. I appreciate so much the question about who comes out to these. I've got a slide kind of walking through that, so we'll get to that one. To the question about networking versus job search motivation and how those are different, we really think about the networking as focused on as a space to both gather insight to. It's inherently tied to job search motivation, but with the job search motivation, it's more about you know, who are your support networks that might be professionals, but they could also just be other individuals. How are you attending to self-care? How are you practicing resilience? And so some of that might be about connecting and networking, but some of it might just be about thinking about other supportive strategies that will help you manage the fact that job searching can sometimes feel anxious as a process. Amazing. All right, so some of the questions that are coming in are kind of like, who are the students? And so maybe I'll move through to some of the assessment results with that, but keep the questions coming. I really appreciate them and promise I will get to them. So one of the pieces that was exciting when we launched this program is that with designing a new model for group advising, sort of the challenge of how do we assess it and needing a framework for that. So operating from a proof of concept and identifying from ourselves what would be significant key performance indicators, KPIs, that would help us know that this is a success. And so for the team, identifying out five KPIs across two categories. The one was the learning format itself. And so that's getting to the point of is this as a program something that makes sense to be able to have these conversations, not in one-on-ones, but in not in a workshop, but to have this intermediary space. And so wanted to hear from the peer advisors that from their perspective, wearing both hats, is this something that they found valuable? But also after each of the career chats, having our career educators reflect on if they are able to take a facilitative approach. So in that conceptual model, I talked about the role of a career educator is to hold space. And so to say, is the learning format, and not necessarily your facilitation style, these are different, is the learning format, the way that this is structured, those different stages, the flow of the conversation, how we've talked about it, the themes, are those things set up in a way that's allowing you to be a facilitator in that space and inviting them to reflect based on that? And then some pieces around student learning and engagement. So from an administrative perspective, we needed at least 2 to 3 students in each chat for this to be warranted, like the resources, because it's an hour program that would be 2 one-on-one appointments. We needed to ensure that students were gaining insights and clarity as a result of participating, especially around the identified learning objectives for each of them. And that students were happy with the program, right? The satisfaction is an important part of being able to say, is this a format that's working? And so with that, as it relates to the learning format, we've heard very much from our peer advisors that it was a unique space and to be able to really privilege the student voice and their questions was incredibly unique and valuable. And I've got some quotes, and I'll read one out that I really appreciate, that they talked about career chat challenges, the common and often harmful and or inaccurate stereotypes regarding career planning and pathways. And so one of the things that very much emerged, and actually immediately after we did the first career chat, was a recognition that the type of conversation that we had in the room would never emerge in a one-on-one and would never emerge in a workshop, that we were actually talking about different things and we were talking about them differently. We also heard from our career educators as part of their reflection that they were taking a catalytic approach, and a catalytic approach falls within that facilitative approach from Herent's six categories of intervention, and it's defined as being able to helping the other person reflect, to discover and for themselves, and this helps them become more self-directed in making decisions and solving problems. And so the focus wasn't necessarily on their facilitation style, but how the learning format was enabling that particular learning style. And they identified the enabling factor for that, really, that there was a diversity of learners in the room, that we had students from different levels of study, everywhere from a first-year student to a postdoctoral fellow in the room, that there were students from different programs of study, students had different work-life experiences, and that really led to that collaborative group conversation. But because it was a small group, that there was sufficient time for there to not just be the introduction of messy reflective questions and conversation, but that there was time to really grapple with them. And that really our peer career advisors give us confidence in doing this program, that their ability to model what it looks like to ask a follow-up question, to say, oh, that's really interesting, can you tell me a little bit more about that experience or how you're coming through that, that really allowed them to be facilitators rather than experts or knowledge holders in the space. In terms of attendance, we're happy with the numbers. We have about approximately 5 to 6 participants in each career chat. Our largest was 12. And so we saw that students were responding, but we also saw that it was a lot of students in year 1 to 3, which as a central career services office, in their studies, it was a sense of we were actually engaging different students, that it wasn't necessarily the same students that we see at our one-on-ones or in our workshops that are our big events, that we're reaching new audience with this. 82% of participants say that they would strongly recommend the program to another. And then I've captured some qualitative comments that students have shared about the program, about the way that they really find that it's inclusive, that it's just helpful to be able to bounce ideas off of each other, the way that it's just transferable to their own lives. And so with that, as it ties in with career learning, we were seeing that students were leaving with an increased understanding of career process, of their mindset, and of strategies. One of the things that we had students do during the pilot, it's not part of the ongoing work of running the program, but during the pilot to really assess this, was we would have students as they come in complete a Likert scale around their confidence in navigating career ambiguity, and you'll see that as the pre-number, and their ability to use the information and resources available to them. And so before a career chat for the confidence, the number, average number, was around 39% of students agreed that they were confident in navigating career ambiguity. And following a career chat, we saw the number jump to 86%. And so a lot of that work around building confidence would tie back to that goal that we had around wanting students to walk out feeling hopeful, feeling optimistic about being able to navigate the messiness of careers. And then a pretty significant jump as well from 48% to 90% of being able to have a better understanding of the resources and information available to them on campus through whether it's the career exploration and education team or the larger university to help them with their career questions. And then my favorite qualitative comment that's come through our assessment is that as part of that, the post-career chat reflection, students identify 3 things that they learned as a consequence of the program. And one student said that they learned that other people have similar concerns as they do. And I think that really speaks to the normalization effect and component of doing a group advising to help students realize that they're not the only person navigating those questions or worrying or considering some of those thoughts, and so helping students see that it's okay and that it's okay to talk about them with each other has been a huge win. I'll stop there in case there are questions about that assessment process, how we did that, before I move into kind of some of our major lessons learned and where we're going with the program. If the folks have questions that they want to ask through the chat, I'm happy to take some of those now as well. A question about handout. One of the things that we have that we offer to students is a reflection tool, so a space for them to make notes as we're going. The first part is to say, what's the question that you brought with you today, so that they get a chance to write that out. And the backside of that sheet has space for them to say, here are my next steps, here's what I plan to do. So just a tool that's available. Some students will use it, some students will take notes in a notebook or just engage in conversation. Do you share your assessment results with participants? We have, I think that last quote around that other people have similar concerns that I do has been something that we've used to talk about the program. And one of the things our front desk is really well equipped to help students navigate when to come into a group advising versus a one-on-one, but probably something that we could do better. So I really love that question for the way that it is getting me to think about what might be next. Do your students answer a survey before? So the pre and post statistics come from that survey, which include that satisfaction number that we have around 82%, as well as their articulation of here's the three things that I'm taking away. That's something that we did when we piloted the program. We did for about a couple of months, so about 5 to 6 months during the summer. And it's not a survey that we have students do for every single career chat, just because we know that the program works, and we assess ongoing rather than each individual chat. Great. In terms of some of our lessons learned and the next steps, it did take us some time to refine the topics that we offer and that we know work within this learning format. Our job search motivation used to just be job searching, and we realized that led to a lot of questions around resumes and interviews, which are valid and incredibly important, but maybe a group advising space isn't the right one to take those up in. And so really shifting it to job search motivation helped us to clarify what might make sense to take up within that space. I've talked a little bit about the student reflection and note-taking tool that was introduced as feedback from our peer advisors, but felt that would be something that's valuable, and students have used it in different ways throughout the program. One of the things that I talked about when we went through the program design was the value of the disarming conversation, holding space in that first 10 minutes to explain what the model is, explain what it would look like to participate. And with that, to have a facilitated conversation about discretion versus confidentiality. So we might say something like, you know, when you're leaving this career chat, we invite you to share your reflections and your insights, to share what you learned, but not to share each other's personal stories and details. So to say something to the effect of, you know, at today's career chat, I learned that other people also feel a little awkward at times when networking, rather than to share a personal story that somebody might share within the space. And one of the things that we find that really allows is for folks to feel comfortable to engage in this. I see a question coming in about training, which is the other piece on here. All of our career educators facilitate the group advising program, the career chats. And I think that's the strength of the program, because each individual will bring a different facilitation style, but we want to have consistency for student expectations. And so training for career educators looked like having them shadow each other. When we launched the program, did a lot of work around working through our program design model, and at the time I developed this as a career educator, so it was particularly helpful to share in that with my colleagues around, you know, what could this look like for us? What does it look like to have a facilitated conversation about discretion? How do we be facilitative and not necessarily answer all of the questions in the room, but allow students the space to answer for each other. And being able to shadow each other has been helpful for that. And we also do training for the peer facilitators and advisors in the room so that they also have a sense of what it means to wear both hats. And so we walk through the program design model, really doing some work about helping folks understand the conceptual and the theoretical foundations of the program. I think has been helpful for ensuring that it's implemented in a way that is consistent with that, because they see the value of it. One of the pieces that this has helped us also think about is that because we've introduced a group advising program, it started to help us think about how we can diversify our learning format. So we're now currently playing with this idea of career camp, which is all-day programming for students to come in and do some of the work around whether it's a personal statement or a job application. And so it's really helped us think about whenever we really want to diversify or attend to our curriculum framework especially and diversify our programming to not necessarily go to the reaction of doing a workshop, to think about other learning formats. And now that we've got a robust group advising program, we're currently in the space of really thinking about our advising service model and being able to articulate, you know, what are the learning outcomes that we have for one-on-one career advising appointments and how they're situated differently from group advising, and being able to articulate those out more closely for students. What my hope was to hold the last 10 minutes for questions and reflections. So I see a few more are coming through the chat, so I'm just going to turn my attention to those. So our peer career advisors, yep, are paid. They're part of our work-study program here at U of T, and they work to provide both one-on-one resource advising appointments. They facilitate resume reviews. They co-facilitate certain ones of our workshops, and then they also participate in this program. So these are paid roles, and this is sort of a special project that a peer advisor might support. Can you tell me some of the types? So there was a question. I'll just read it out because I'm mindful that not everyone has the access to the screen. Can you tell me some of the types of facilitating tools, questions, or exercises you use to get the chat participants to network? Are you finding natural networking is transpiring? Our focus is a little less on helping students network with each other as much as just community build and to connect with people asking the same questions. So very often, just as a consequence of sharing deep, like thoughtful questions that they have about their careers, there's some bonding that happens. We're asking the same questions. We're navigating this together. We're on the same path. And so a lot of students we find after a career chat will add each other on LinkedIn or add each other on Facebook. And we have had students say, "Oh, I know someone in that field that you're curious about," and they might do a referral. But it's a little less kind of focused on getting them to network with each other as much as sort of community build or network or connect, sorry. For folks asking about the recording, yep, absolutely, we'll share the recording. I'm happy to also share the slide deck and any additional follow-up material that folks would like to see. Awesome. One of the things I'd be curious to hear from folks is kind of any reflections that you have. So up on the screen, I kind of have a question around like, what is an opportunity that you maybe see in your setting on your campus to do group advising? What are some topics that might work well? But also potentially, what are some challenges that you might encounter and need to navigate? And we can potentially do some brainstorming around. Amy, the question on how students were encouraged to attend, our general program promotion, one of the things that we have within our Student Success Center as a new space are tabletop signs that we've used to promote the program and really just get word out about the program. But there's no sort of incentive apart from free snacks with the program. part of motivation struggling with meeting one-on-one demand. So there's a question about, you know, kind of balancing this with the one-on-one work. Some of it, yeah, I think in all fairness sort of does come from that. It's always an ongoing tension around how do we maximize or and expand our capacity to meet students differently and on different questions. But I think at the same time also to say, how do we engage them differently? And so not, we didn't want career chats to ever be promoted or talked about as a consolation for not being able to get a one-on-one appointment. So one of the things that we've done with our wonderful front desk team is to help them understand how it's a unique program and how it's different from one-on-one, to help triage when a student might fit within their question, might be a better fit for one of those models. But it certainly does help with that piece around capacity of being able to serve all students and recent grads on our campus. Yeah, I think the comment kind of around the 3-week wait list, and that gets to sort of what I mentioned around looking at our advising service model and really thinking about how we sort of solve that larger problem of having, you know, 7 career educators for an entire campus. And would be curious to hear how you're navigating that as well, Stacey. Yeah, the question kind of around attendance. We've been fortunate in being able to see good numbers for the program. There's certainly times of year, especially in the summer, where, you know, they're not as strong and we have less students come out. And in those instances, folks will respond to what's needed in the room. So if it is just, you know, one person, turning that into a one-on-one, or if it's just two folks, maybe having it not last the full hour is a way to maximize sort of time it and resources within that. I think providing snacks is really helpful, just letting students know that they'll walk away with strategies, really making clear to them that it's a space to bring your questions and that you'll leave with strategies has helped clarify the value proposition of being there. And thank you for the question around, you know, how do these connect in with the workshops? One of the things for us that we often do is to situate this a bit with a partner workshop. So we've got a workshop on networking. And at the end of that, we say that this isn't the end of the conversation. Our career chat on networking is a great way to follow up and to keep exploring what this might need to look like for you. So to help students sort of navigate through our programming and find other points of connection after they connect in with us. I'm mindful of time, and so I'm happy if there are other questions that are coming up, I'm happy to take them. But to also really just say, thank you all so much for chatting for about an hour around group advising. And my email is currently up on the screen, so I'm happy to have follow-up conversation, share resources, share more details around our model, if that's helpful. But if not, I'll turn things back over to Brigitte to wrap things up.
Thank you very much, Atifa, and thank you everyone for taking part and adding your questions into the chat. That was wonderful. We'll make sure the email, Atifa's email, gets put into the platform and shared with the NACADA listeners as well, so that people who didn't have a chance to see the screen can access it that way. And feel free to share it with other colleagues who may be interested. So thank you everyone for taking part, and we'll do something again. Bye.
Well, I've been sitting here all day, I've been sitting in this waiting room. And I've been waiting on my friends, yes, I'm waiting on this conference call. All alone, and I'm on hold. Well, yes, I'm on hold. I hope it's not all day. Well, I wonder where they are, yes, I wonder where my friends have gone.
Where'd they go?
Tell me, where could they be while I'm waiting on this conference call?
I don't know.
Well, I'm holding on my phone, yes, I'm holding on the line. Hey! I don't know where they are, I don't know why I'm still alone. I'm on hold. Oh yes, I'm on hold. I hope it's not all day. Hey!
Well, let me tell y'all a story about a man who was on hold all day. Yes, he was. Now, maybe he had the time wrong, and maybe he didn't. There's just no way for me to say. And yes, I have seen some long hold times in my day. Yes, I have. And this was one of the worst. Now, this young man did not hang up the telephone, and you guess what happened? Yeah, that call began. That call started.
So stay on hold. You gotta stay on hold. Ooh, don't go away. Well, I've been sitting here all day, I've been sitting in this waiting room. And I've been waiting on my friends, yes, I'm waiting on this conference call. All alone, and I'm on hold. Well, yes, I'm on hold. I hope it's not all day. Hey! Well, I wonder where they are, yes, I wonder where my friends have gone.
Where'd they go?
Tell me, where could they be while I'm waiting on this conference call?
I don't know.
Well, I'm holding on my phone, yes, I'm holding on the line. Hey! Well, I don't know where they are, I don't know why I'm still alone. I'm on hold. Oh yes, I'm on hold. I hope it's not all day. Hey!
Well, let me tell y'all a story about a man who was on hold all day. Yes, he was. Now, maybe he had the time wrong and maybe he didn't. There's just no way for me to say. And yes, I have seen some long hold times in my day. Yes, I have. And this was one of the worst. Now, this young man did not hang up the telephone. And you guess what happened? Yeah. That call began. That call started.
So stay on hold. You gotta stay on hold. Ooh, don't go away. Well, I've been sitting here all day, I've been sitting in this waiting room. And I've been waiting on my friends, yes, I'm waiting on this conference call. All alone, and I'm on hold. Well, yes, I'm on hold. I hope it's not all day. Well, I wonder where they are, yes, I wonder where my friends have gone.
Where'd they go?
Tell me, where could they be while I'm waiting on this conference call?
I don't know.
Well, I'm holding on my phone, yes, I'm holding on the line. Hey! I don't know where they are, I don't know why I'm still alone. I'm on hold. Oh yes, I'm on hold. I hope it's not all day. Hey!
Well, let me tell y'all a story about a man who was on hold all day. Yes, he was. Now, maybe he had the time wrong, and maybe he didn't. There's just no way for me to say. And yes, I have seen some long hold times in my day. Yes, I have. And this was one of the worst. Now, this young man did not hang up the telephone, and you guess what happened? Yeah. That call began. That call started.
So stay on hold. You gotta stay on hold. Ooh, don't go away. Well, I've been sitting here all day, I've been sitting in this waiting room. And I've been waiting on my friends, yes, I'm waiting on this conference call. All alone, and I'm on hold. Well, yes, I'm on hold. I hope it's not all day. Well, I wonder where they are, yes, I wonder where my friends have gone.
Where'd they go?
Tell me, where could they be while I'm waiting on this conference call?
I don't know.
Well, I'm holding on my phone, yes, I'm holding on the line.
Hey!
Well, I don't know where they are, I don't know why I'm still alone. I'm on hold. Oh yes, I'm on hold. I hope it's not all day. Hey!
Well, let me tell y'all a story about a man who was on hold all day. Yes, he was. Now, maybe he had the time wrong and maybe he didn't. There's just no way for me to say. And yes, I have seen some long hold times in my day. Yes, I have. And this was one of the worst. Now, this young man did not hang up the telephone, and you guess what happened? Yeah. That call began. That call started.
So stay on hold. You gotta stay on hold. Ooh, don't go.